Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, Chase Thomas podcast, where I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, and I am joined my good friend, fellow University of North Georgia alumni, Matt Green. Matt, good evening, sir. How are you?
Good evening, sir. We are back. Mm-hmm. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir. To jump the gun.
We have. I mean, it's very much close. We're basically there when we're recording. So it is Thanksgiving Eve.
Happy Thanksgiving to you listening to this podcast.
They are listening Thursday on their commute morning to their family gathering, which is cool.
Exactly. So we're all having Thanksgiving together right now, in a way.
Isn't that weird to think about? Sometimes I think about that when I'm uploading the podcast and stuff like that, and I see it goes out. I'm like, there are people, like, I could just drive down. You could be driving down somewhere in Atlanta right now, and there's someone listening to you and I talk about college football in their car. Is that not weird to you to think about sometimes? I think about that, and I just, I'm appreciative, and you guys are great. Thank you for that. But it is kind of wild to think about. Because when you look at the numbers, yeah,
and
you look at the downloads.
I know people listening, too. So it's cool.
Right. It's definitely
dudes
cool.
Dudes will hit me up about one of my opinions. I'm like, hey, I appreciate you listening, man.
About one of your opinions. Are they usually positive or negative? They're usually like, man, I don't know. That Chase guy, he's on to something.
They're like, that Chase guy, what an idiot. No.
Yikes.
No. They'll just like, I'll make like a reference and they'll laugh at it or something. But it's good stuff.
It is good stuff. Well, let's start to do an icebreaker, because you and I don't know each other well enough, Matt. Is that one thing about you and I, it's that we went into this cold. We had to just break the ice on this very podcast. We had to figure out this work, this partnership, and we had never taught college football previously at any undergrad institution. And I don't think you and I, and all the different stuff we've talked about over the years, we've never talked about Thanksgiving takes. So give me your strongest Thanksgiving take and what your day is going to look like tomorrow.
Oh man, I mean, the strongest take I have about Thanksgiving is probably just that it's overrated. Like, the food is overrated.
Okay.
Like, I just feel like I'm not a casserole guy. Like, I don't know, green bean casserole, like, oh, there's one my mom makes.
Does she listen to the pod?
Broccoli rice casserole, that's solid. No, I'm saying that's solid. I'll give that broccoli rice casserole props. But, I mean, I'm all about the mac and cheese, because I feel like the Thanksgiving, people go the extra level on those mac and cheeses, you know? It's not just like a simple mac and cheese. So I'm always a big fan of that, like some mashed potatoes, and the meat is fine. But, yeah, I don't know. I think the food in general just kind of feel like it's a little overrated.
Are you a turkey person or a ham person?
If I had to choose, I would go turkey. I like a little bit of both. But
that's a cop out. You can't do both. I've learned that there are a lot more people that are ham people, and I like turkey, and it's easily turkey for me. I don't like ham. I'm not a ham person, and I know my grandmother's going to hear this, and it's going to be sad. But I don't like ham. Ham's it's super slimy. We get the honey baked hams. You have to pick it apart, and I feel like a toddler eating ham when it's served. I don't know what to do with ham. Don't enjoy it. Don't like it. Let's get that out of here.
The thick sliced ham, like people like make sandwiches out of that. Like that's gross to me.
That is disgusting.
Like, if I'm eating like a cold cut sandwich, it's gotta be like really thin sliced meat, you know?
Right.
But yeah, I guess if you put it down to like they're out of one of them at Thanksgiving, I would prefer them be out of ham instead of turkey. So I guess if I have to choose one, I would go turkey.
And then we had Mac Jones this week. Like, macaroni and cheese trended because Mac Jones just broke the internet and broke the football world with his, I don't like
was
mac and
cheese. Mac Jones who said that?
Yes.
That's an absurd take. Mac and cheese is, like, the best dish on Thanksgiving. I even told Tori, I was like, I feel like every Thanksgiving, like, too many people make mac and cheese, you know? Like,
no, you can never have too many.
But that's what I'm saying. So I worry that people are going to be like, well, everyone made mac and cheese last year, and then maybe no one makes it. So you need to make sure everyone keeps over making the mac and cheese for Thanksgiving.
No one's ever just walked into a gathering and been like, there's too much mac and cheese here. What were we doing here? Did anyone not pass out an itinerary?
You always have more than you need. I'm just saying, I hope there's not a market correction there. I hope people are like, oh, well, we always have more than we need. I don't need to make it this year. And then you got multiple people thinking that, and then boom, you don't have enough mac and cheese.
That sounds like a doomsday scenario.
That's my nightmare.
Well, thankfully, Arthur Smith, head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, confirmed today that he is pro mac and cheese, and he doesn't understand how anyone could not be. But also, Arthur, it's not the time to talk about Mac Jones, considering what Mac Jones did to you on Thursday night football. Yeah, no, there you go. I don't know if I have a really hot take. It's just more of, I love Christmas. So, like, we have the Christmas lights set up. We did all this stuff. We have presents under the tree right now, the Sports Renaissance Woman and I love jazz music. So, Christmas jazz is something that I'm walking.
So you got your Kenny G Christmas album going?
I'm not a Kenny G person, but I do have my Christmas albums. I might listen to some Buble.
I'll be honest. The Kenny G Christmas reminds me of my childhood. I feel like that's like the background kind of thing my mom would put on. Like Kenny G playing some sort of little saxophone going with one of these Christmas songs. I feel like I like hear that. I can have a vision when I hear that.
Mm-hmm. What is the setup? Do you end up watching a lot of Detroit Lions football at Thanksgiving? Do you play some football in the yard? Do y'all have like a green family Thanksgiving game?
Go to like this.
Do you have any traditions? I guess is what I'm getting at here.
My dad's side of the family, they have like a whole like little family reunion thing. It's out like Covington somewhere. So
okay.
They have like a barn, but it's like a solid setup. It's got like a bar and like TVs and stuff inside of it, like right next to their house pretty much. It's a pretty sick setup they have. But yeah, it was always solid family tradition there with Stafford on the Lions. You know, everyone always, you know, kind of like some connection there. It's like 90% Georgia fans at this family reunion. So it's now we got Swift with the Lions, but yeah. I'm glad the Egg Bowl is feeling more important this year. I feel like that gives you like a nice night game on Thanksgiving too. Because I feel like I'm kind of worn out. Like early in the day, I'm like, oh, football's on, nice, you know. And then halfway through the day, whenever the Cowboys are playing, because I feel like the Cowboys are always like that 4 or 5 o'clock game on Thanksgiving, it's like I feel like I'm over the NFL by that point. I'm like, whatever, I'm not really paying attention anymore. Might be on the ride home, like I'm not really paying attention to this game. And then the Egg Bowl comes on that night and you're like, nice, there's one last little nightcap. And this year should be an awesome game too.
We'll get into it. I'm so excited for the Egg Bowl this year. And I agree. And we also used to have Texas A&M, remember? That was something to look forward to too.
That's true.
And that
I thought about that with Oklahoma joining. There was talk about the Oklahoma State maybe never playing again after they joined the SEC, or at least not playing every year. And it's like so many teams in the SEC have that ACC in-state rival. Like Oklahoma could perfectly fit that schedule, you know? Keep Oklahoma State there. Texas A&M, let's get Texas back on. Oh, shoot, they're in the same conference now. So, yeah, I guess we'll get Texas A&M back. I didn't even think about that. So that'll be awesome. Maybe like, get that back on Thanksgiving. So, well, yeah, we'll see.
Bad blood there. I don't think they're going to agree to play each other every year. They're like, we're doing the pod schedule. We see you every 4 years.
They're on the same. No, they have to be in the same pod. Like Texas, like Georgia and Florida have to be in the same one. Auburn, Alabama, Texas A&M for sure.
Who is Tennessee's one? That I guess Kentucky we have to be with.
Yeah,
that makes the most sense.
Give like a number one. I mean, Vanderbilt, really.
That's true. We're going to luck out in this. What if we get Kentucky and Vanderbilt in our pod?
From Alabama locked on the schedule every year to get in Vanderbilt locked. That'd be pretty nice.
I'm not hating
it. Third Saturday in October. A lot of tradition there. Tennessee fans don't want to lose that rivalry.
That's what we call a fallacy. It's a similar fallacy to rogue reporters talking about Georgia takeovers. It's the same fallacy in Neyland Stadium. But they're actually, oh my goodness, there's going to be a Vandy. I didn't even think about this, Matt Green. So guess what color Vanderbilt is? The black uniforms, the black jerseys, the color scheme, black and gold. It's going to be cold Saturday afternoon in Neyland. There might be some black in there. It could be another takeover.
Some orange winter wear, all right? Mm-hmm. You should be prepared for this.
I guess. We're wearing all orange, though, on Saturday, so that'll be cool.
That's a quality alternate.
That is a quality. And I'm like you. I definitely pay weirdly close attention to the Lions game at noon. And then it's usually, though, I got to be careful with what I say here because I don't know how many of my family members listen to this podcast. I know a lot. I just don't know everyone. So I don't want to say too much in this regard, but I mean there is ways. Like, you got to do a lot of maneuvering. Like, you don't want to get caught talking to certain people. Like, you want to move on. You got to figure out how to get, you're like, I don't want to be rude, but I want to go look at this, or I want to move on from this conversation. I'm just not good at any of that, Matt. Like, I'm good at podcasting. I'm not good at the social interactions. I get so anxious.
What's the difference there?
I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you, but I think it's the one-on-one. I don't like group settings, generally speaking. Like, I'm not good in group settings. That's usually where I'm the most quiet. So, like, whenever I've been out with friends and stuff like that, if it's a group situation, I'm usually minding my own business and just not really engaged. But if it's a one-on-one, three people, four people, whatever, that's fine. Like, the small groups and that kind of thing, I can manage. But the group settings, I don't know. It exhausts me pretty quickly. I'm a huge introvert when it comes to that.
Fair enough. To each their own.
Yeah. See, this, now the listeners know about our set. My favorite dish.
a little peek inside.
Folks want to know about this, who we are. I love Hawaiian rolls. That's my favorite Thanksgiving food.
What? I mean, Hawaiian rolls are fine, but I feel like some actually baked rolls are, like fresh baked rolls are going to destroy Hawaiian
rolls. Incorrect. Hawaiian rolls, I could eat them cold. I could eat them cold. Like, I am so excited. I'm already thinking about it.
That's a bad take. I want a nice warm roll.
I mean, I'm not saying I don't prefer it warm. I'm just saying that, like, I would eat those cold, and I have in the past because, like, I genuinely love Hawaiian rolls. Like, my grandmother makes great Hawaiian rolls, and I'm excited to eat those tomorrow.
She makes great Hawaiian rolls? What does that mean? She takes them out of the package?
Hey, a lot goes in. Don't you dare. Don't you dare go after my grandmother. Don't you dare, Matt Green. She puts a lot of love in her Hawaiian rolls, and that goes a long way. Love and care goes a long way. Matt Green, we have a couple news items that we want to hit before we get the CFP rankings into the road to the college football playoff, which I already confirmed. I don't know why we have to go through that when I already said that it was going to be 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Cincinnati 4, Notre Dame. But if you insist, we'll get more into that. We had some coaching hires and coaching decisions. UMass hires Don Brown, DC at Arizona, formerly at Michigan for a long time. Here's what's bonkers about this, and the reason I bring this up. Arizona, according to Yahoo Sports, I think it was Pete Damlo who reported on this, Arizona attempted to keep Brown with a 2-year contract that would make him the Pac-12's highest paid assistant. What? You're Arizona. Is Don Brown that critical to what you're doing, what that operation is going on down there with Jed Fish? What are we doing? Highest paid assistant at Arizona? What?
That's insane.
What? I saw that and I just was like, are we not all just collectively losing our minds at all this?
So how much do they offer him?
A figure wasn't released. It was just enough in the 2-year deal that
so
would have made
the highest paid assistant. Is it Venables?
It's got to be Venables because it used to be Aranda.
Okay. That's crazy. It's honestly crazier that he turned that down.
I mean, he wanted to go back to UMass. He was a legend at UMass when they were in the FCS. So I guess it was like, go my come. And it's also, he's the head guy, and this is probably his last stop before he retires. So I don't know. We'll see. Sonny Dykes to TCU. That seems all but done. And then Jay McGuire.
I was I was buying the Deion hype you were selling last week. Deion to TCU, that was sexy to me. But they went Sonny Dykes.
He'll probably be fine. Like, he's not going to be bad at TCU. That's the thing, is, like, I don't think he's going to be bad. Like, I think it's just going to be fine. I don't think it's going to be enough to vault that program into just, like, playoff contention year over year. But I don't think he's uncorking Dallas as a national power, is, I guess, what I'm saying. I think he'll be fine. I just don't think that's the trajectory that they're on. I don't know. Kind of, I'm really rather underwhelmed by both hires, Jerry Maguire and Gary Patterson and Sonny Dykes. Who are you more underwhelmed by?
So, first of all, let me hit you with the highest paid coordinators.
Uh-huh.
Right now it would be Brent Venables and then Mike Elko.
Okay.
Todd Grantham was third.
Was he really?
But this list is kind of crazy because this is from like not quite a year ago. Mm. So Sarkisian was one, Kevin Steele was two, Bo Pelini at LSU was four, and now Grantham at six. Like, three of these guys were fired. Like, that's kind of, well, I guess Steele wasn't necessarily fired, but his administration was fired. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. But in terms of these hire, like, Sonny Dykes seems like a safe hire. Like, who was the other one you said?
Jerry Maguire at Texas Tech.
I don't know what to make of that. I feel like I'm just going to have to wait and see on that, to be honest.
We'll see. He's retaining Sonny Cumbie as his OC, which, I don't know. The offense hasn't been very good, but I don't know. We'll see how Cumbie does next year under McGuire. And he's got recruiting connections that Matt Wells did not. So the recruiting will probably be better at Texas Tech and in Lubbock, but I don't know. I don't love either of those names. And then we got Franklin signing a massive extension to stay at Penn State. And then we've got Luke Fickell turning down USC and LSU in Florida to remain at Cincinnati. What do you make of those?
Yeah, you gotta respect that. I think Luke Fickell, what he's building there, like, they still haven't necessarily, like, you know, moved the meter with recruiting, but then moving into the Big 12, I'm really curious just what this is going to do to their recruiting. Like, it's going to change really the region that they start to get players from. And so, I mean, if they're getting a playoff, like, who knows if they win one of these games in the playoff? No one thinks they're going to, but just being on that stage is just going to do so much for this brand. And, like, you're that guy. You don't have to go anywhere and meet anyone else's expectations. Like, you've set this standard. Like, you're getting like your Mark Few on at this point, like with Gonzaga. You know, it's like every time you turn a job down, it like adds to your resume almost. You know, it's like, I could have been here, I could have been here, but I believed in Cincinnati. It's just, it's another sales pitch that you can recruit with, really. And it's like, you can understand if they can pay him, what other schools can pay him. I mean, you can understand why he's going to stay with what he's got. And then Franklin, I thought that was interesting for like what we're doing with Mel Tucker and James Franklin. Like, you're just giving guys all this money so that no one else will take them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, are they? I don't know. You're worth whatever anyone's willing to pay you. You know, I'm not trying to take any money out of anybody's pockets, but I question locking him down for 10 years. Like, that just, if that's what you have to do to keep your coach, that's what you got to do. But these coaching contracts are about to get insane.
They're not even about to. It's just part of the deal. I was texting the family group chat about this, where I was like, y'all need to prepare, because if Lincoln leaves OU anytime soon, if Eli Drinkwitz gets fired by Mizzou anytime soon, if the right area opens up that's a slightly better job or arguably a better job, Heupel's getting a 10-year extension. Like, that's coming. Like, that's just the nature of the business now. Because, like, when you looked at the figures for the buyout money that's just been used over the last decade, that's just dead money. The amount of dead money in college football is preposterous. That, like, I think schools are now more than, like, I guess not all schools are willing to do this. Like, Georgia Tech is clearly not going to do this with the buyout money they would owe Jeff Collins. They're like, we're not doing this. But if you're Auburn, if you're Bama, if you're Oklahoma, LSU, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State, whatever, they'll eat some buyout money. They don't care. They got
Auburn's got that Yellowwood money.
Yeah, like, they're fine. They're not worried about buyout dead money. Like, that's the thing, and that's going to, I think, shift the power even more when the big blue bloods mess up on a hire. They're like, yeah, see, if you mess up on a hire, Washington State, you're screwed for years. If we mess up on a hire, we'll just eat this money and get more booster money and then hire the we'll correct ourselves. We have the money to make it a quick, easy fix. A lot of programs don't have that. So I think it's just another advantage that the big boys will have going forward.
Yeah, without a doubt. It's crazy the amount of money that's out there to tell someone not to coach. Like, it's the best gig if you can get it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's get into your Matt Green potion class of what's going on in the CFP rankings. What's going on with your formula and the potions and the teams that you're putting in the bubbly?
Well, this is not Hogwarts defense against the dark arts or anything going on.
Well, there was
on.
Actually a potions class, sir. It was talked by Mr. Severus Snape.
That's... You're a bigger Harry Potter fan than I am, but well done. Mm. So yeah, right now we got the top four rankings came out yesterday. Georgia's still at one. Ohio State jumps Bama and goes to two. Bama at three. Cincy at four. Bearcats fans whining and crying about they don't want to put little old Cincinnati like Dabo Swinney over here. And they're now in the top four and appear to be in control of their own fate, I would say.
Yeah.
I guess they – I don't really see any scenario that Cincinnati wins and doesn't get in. So, but then you got the top ten. So from 5 through 10, I think all of these teams except for Ole Miss have a shot. Ole Miss has no road to be able to get into the playoff. But you got Michigan at 5. They win and they're in, right? Like, they can beat Ohio State, probably not going to. Win the Big Ten, Michigan's in, no sweat. Notre Dame has a little more to worry about. Because I feel like the top 5 is going to cannibalize itself. Like, they have to have Bama lose. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to for Notre Dame. But I think they also, they need a little bit of cannibalism in the Big 12 as well, because if Bama wins, Georgia's getting in, I think, as well. So I think that's what could keep Notre Dame out. And if Oklahoma State beats Oklahoma and then Baylor in the Big 12 championship, I think Oklahoma State's going to jump Notre Dame. So basically everyone from the bottom needs Bama to lose, because Bama's going to take that spot and no one can get in.
Yeah.
But Baylor at 2 losses, they just need some kind of chaos. Like, they need like a Notre Dame or Cincinnati to end up losing or something like that for anyone to even consider a 2-loss Big 12 champion. Like, that, oh man, honestly, it's such a bummer they lost to TCU. It was going to make for such a great finish in the Big 12. But I feel like Baylor might be the best team in the Big 12 right now, but I just don't know if a 2-loss team gets in. But they're so much higher in the rankings, it feels like they have a shot, right? I mean, they're 2 spots behind Notre Dame. If they – I don't know who they play this week. They don't have a tough game this week, I don't think. But then whoever they play, Oklahoma or Oklahoma State in the Big 12 championship, like, they might could jump in there. Oklahoma's just so far down. They only have the one loss, but it seems like the committee hasn't liked Oklahoma the whole time. So I wonder if Oklahoma State is the only Big 12 team that actually has a shot to get in there.
Hmm.
But what are your thoughts? And I know you think Notre Dame is going to get that fourth spot, but that, is that just because you're not a believer in Oklahoma State? Like, under the scenario of Oklahoma State beating Oklahoma this week and then beating Baylor next week, I feel like there's no question they jump Notre Dame with that.
I don't think so. Really? I would agree with them jumping them, but I don't think they will. I think Oklahoma State's a better team. I think Oklahoma State is, I mean, we'll get into OU versus OK State, but like, I think it's clear that a lot of people have not been keeping up with what Oklahoma State's been doing as of the last month and a half. But I also think Notre Dame's going for style points, and Brian Kelly talked about that. That's part of the reason they beat Georgia Tech 55-0. They're going to beat Stanford 70-0, 70-14, something like that. Stanford has the worst, I think, run defense in football this year. It's going to be bad. Like, they're going to destroy Stanford. That'll be the lasting memory of like 100-23 or something like that over the last couple of weeks. And I think Oklahoma State, Oklahoma's going to be a dogfight, very low scoring, very close. I don't know. And then obviously, like you said, they still have the Big 12 title game, to change the narrative a little bit, but I don't know, man.
Baylor's got Texas Tech this week, by the way.
I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see Oklahoma State jumping them, even though I think they should. And I think you could sell me on Oklahoma State being the fourth best team in college football this year, or at this present time. Like, you could sell me on that. But then again, I'm like, do I think they're better than Michigan? No, I don't think they're better than Michigan. I think Michigan's like top five, top six.
But their resume would be better than Michigan.
I would agree.
I mean, their resume with the wins over Baylor and Oklahoma in the last 2 weeks of the season, too. The biggest thing, though, over Notre Dame is that 12-1 record versus the 11-1 record.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that does something psychologically. The conference championship.
Maybe. We don't know until it happens.
I honestly wonder if it, like, you wish to wonder, because people have this such a bias, such a feeling about Notre Dame. No one's indifferent about Notre Dame, right?
Yeah.
So it's,
even though like Notre Dame had these great moments with like great memories for Georgia fans, like Georgia fans hate Notre Dame. I'm like, those two games were awesome, and they agreed to play you back and forth.
Notre Dame just because they won, but I don't think Georgia fans hate Notre Dame just because they won both games. You know,
I don't know. I talked to a lot of Georgia fans who hate them. I don't know.
I think hate them.
Yes, a lot of people hate Notre Dame, but the reason when you get down to it, the people who hate Notre Dame, it's literally things that Brian Kelly cannot control. What is he supposed to do? Like, he said it best when he got blown out by, wasn't it Bama last year in the playoff? Wasn't it Bama?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it wasn't that much of a blowout.
It wasn't even as bad as the Ohio State game.
Yeah.
So like, but his point was fair, where he's like, what do you want me to do? Tell our team we can't come play in the playoff because we've lost the last couple? Like, what are we supposed to do? We're playing our schedule, and our schedule's not bad. Like, our schedule's better than a lot of people give us credit for, and then we lose to a better team, and usually it's an all-time great team. Like, what do you want? Like, what? What are people so angry about, like, us getting these opportunities? It's like, we're playing the hands we're dealt. So when you get down to it, people are just angry about things that Notre Dame can't even control.
But what it comes down to, it's the conference thing. That's why, like, when we talk about the conference commissioners getting together, it's the ACC, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12, and Notre Dame's athletic
Jack Swarbrick.
Yeah. It's like, it's just so ridiculous. So you wonder if, you know, the committee has an agenda at times. You know, it's like, do they use this as a time to, oh, well, you should join a conference and this sort of thing wouldn't happen and you'd have a conference championship you could add to your resume? Or is it like, well, Notre Dame's dude is like one of the big dogs, we should keep him happy and get him in here? So I don't know. I think if they get in, it'll be three of the last four playoffs Notre Dame's been in. And so I wonder if the past will have anything to do with people's feelings on Notre Dame.
We'll see. Do you have anything else you'd like to add on that, or do you want to get into the pick 'em?
No, that's all I got.
Okay. Well, you told me you have a surprise for the pick 'em.
Before we get into it. I got a bombshell to drop on.
Oh no.
So we got a correction from last week. So our Louisiana and Liberty game.
Uh-huh.
You said that I was incorrect about your pick on the Louisiana Liberty game. And on the podcast, we were like, ask Tori, like maybe she remembers.
Yeah.
She literally did remember that you picked Liberty.
No! No!
So we ran it back, and sure enough, you I don't know how sold you were that Liberty was better, but you were like, I got to do something to separate.
Oh, that's what it was. So that's what I did, is I didn't believe in Louisiana and Liberty, but I was like, because of the spreads and because of the point situation we had agreed on too much, I went the other way, even though I didn't believe it.
Yes.
That's what it was. Oh, no. I was wrong.
So you questioned my integrity last week, so I had to...
I didn't question your integrity.
No, I'm just joking. But,
so Tori, wait, how did this conversation come about? Did she come to you and say, no, just as a heads up, Chase?
She was listening to the podcast, and we're talking about, because we're going through the pick'em, like, no, you picked this, you know? And I'm like, what? And then we had that whole conversation and everything. And then you're like, ask Tori, maybe she'll remember.
Yeah.
And she literally was like, no, I remember that, listening to that. Like, he picked Liberty. I'm like, 100% sure. And so I was like, are you serious? Like, you actually remember that? And so we pulled it up. She, like, scrolled through the episode. We found it.
That's wild. Yeah,
her memory is insane, honestly. She just absorbs just all information.
Do you know what it is? She was like, I think she absorbs the things that she knows she can use against me later. It all dates back to that time in front of the Nesbitt building. She retains all of it. She's like, oh, I can maybe use that against Chase later on the pod.
That could be it.
I don't know. It might be a thing. Hi, Tori. I'll be. I won't attack Matt's character on this particular episode.
She's a friend of the pod.
She is a friend of the pod.
Thanks for listening, Tori.
And then Jake. I thought you were going to go Jake there. I thought it was going to be your brother who was like, hey, this guy, the mister who doesn't believe in Georgia. Overrunning.
I'll let him fight his battles with you on Twitter.
There you go. Well, there you have it, folks. I am a fraud. There you go.
But yeah, before we get into the pick'em,
I'm embarrassed,
we can,
man.
Refresh. Mm-hmm. We can refresh the listeners. I am 73-58-2 against the spread this year.
Mm.
88-45 overall. You, sir, are 62-69-2 against the spread and 70-63 overall. So, and then Zeus, we got Zeus 5-6 on the season. So not great for Zeus.
This week is 500 for him. He has to get a win this week to go bowling.
Exactly.
We got to get a picture for Thanksgiving tomorrow. Get me a picture of Zeus like begging to go bowling, like for his home dog. That's your job for tomorrow. Just get me a pic of Zeus to go bowling.
All right, I'll see what I can do. Maybe get like some Zeus and some foliage.
Yeah, there you go. How's the ACL? You know, this is a good reminder that I could gamble because I would never lose or win. Like, I could just gamble the rest of my life and be like, I'm still... Chase, how's gambling gone for you? I made, like, a total of $8 over the course of 9 years. Or I've lost, like, $9 over the course of... 9 years.
You'd have to be doing pretty well to do that, to not just be losing all the time. But that's not what you want. You can't make a living on $9.
No. Rivalry weekend, man. Like, it is, there's so many good, like, I'm already kind of overwhelmed. Are you, when you're thinking about it, you're like, man, I want to watch this. Is, I thought about it and I went back to previous weeks. I'm like, there's the most amount of games that I want to watch this week than I have all season long. And I love college football, but like, this weekend has the most amount of content that I need to watch. And I want to watch the full game instead of just the 15-minute bits on the games I don't have time to get to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And especially being a Georgia fan and having to watch Georgia Tech, it's like Ohio State Michigan's always at that noon slot. Mm-hmm. So it's like I gotta keep checking on Ohio State Michigan, but Georgia Tech's definitely my priority. But I love how we at least get the Thanksgiving games, the Friday games, and then we got Arkansas Missouri. I don't think made our pick 'em, but I think that's another Friday one. So it's nice how they spread it out. Honestly, that they need to do that with Georgia Tech. Put it on Thursday. Put it on Friday.
They're never
like
doing
Thanksgiving,
that.
Thanksgiving, Black Friday. I think it's been on Thanksgiving before, like years ago.
Really?
But yeah, I think back in the day, like, I don't know, maybe like 80s or maybe even longer ago than that. But it's just this game has lost so much like interest, honestly. It's like it's been at noon, I don't know, like a decade in a row now. Like this game, I mean, it's not that Georgia Tech hasn't like sprung up and beat Georgia a couple times, but it's just it's been, I think 2009 is the last game I remember really getting up for Georgia Tech. Like 2014, they were a good team that year, and they beat Georgia at the end.
Was that the Hudson Mason year?
Yeah, and that was when Georgia scored late and did the squib kick.
Yeah, and then didn't Georgia Tech have the crazy long field goal in that one?
Yeah, the Chiefs kicker, Harrison Butker.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit like a 55-yarder or something to force overtime, and then they won in overtime.
I think Hudson threw a game-ending pick, right?
I honestly can't remember.
I think he did. Friend of the pod, Hudson Mason. Good guy. He's been on the pod. Well, Matt Green, let's get into these games. Where are we going first?
First one, the game, as they call it. College game day this week in Ann Arbor. This is your big noon game with your boys, Joel Klatt, Gus Johnson. Ohio State, number 2. Michigan, number 5. Michigan's an 8-point home dog in this one. What are your thoughts?
I'm glad that Klatt and Gus Johnson got this game. And I think the ratings show, I'm pretty sure the Big Noon is the highest rated college football game every week. Last I checked. The production's great. The commentary's great. Everything's about it is just great.
I think the timing is a lot of it. Because it's like a lot of people watch game day and then you immediately have a game to watch. So I wonder if...
But they do have to flip.
You do have to flip, but... I think you can muster up the energy.
I don't know. If you have carpal tunnel, that's a little bit of a stretch.
Philadelphia.
I just don't think people are ready. So it's like amazing. Like, you'll learn a lot about how much someone's watched of Michigan this year based on how they talk about this game. Because Michigan is a completely different version of the Michigan Wolverines than we've seen in a long time. This is the best, I think, Jim Harbaugh Michigan Wolverines team we've ever seen. I think this Michigan team's better than Michigan State. I think they'll like the defense without Don Brown and with their new group, it's better than it's ever been. There's a lot to like. Michigan reminds me a lot of Cincinnati right now, but I think one of the issues here is something has to give. And if I had to like map out situations where Michigan can win, a lot of them are they need CJ Stroud to not be a completion percentage assassin. They need him to not be able to find guys and then Michigan be able to smother receivers, them not call defensive holding, defensive pass interference, and get away with a lot of stuff. Force Travion Henderson and that group to run the football and take the ball out of CJ Stroud's hands. That's asking a lot. And then you think about...
But also Ohio State can beat you on the ground, too.
But I'm okay there. Like, that's the game plan. The three receivers that they have are not fair. Like, that's just not a fair group. So I don't care if Travion Henderson's a five-star. Like, I'm putting him in a position where it's like, I can live with them beating us on the ground. I can't live with them beating us through the air. And I just... I think about Ohio State scoring. And I think... It's just not realistic to bet that the best offense in college football is going to be held in check here. Michigan needs to win a certain type of way. And they can win that way 10 to 11 times this year. They can't do it here. But Michigan's good. And I hope people understand that, like, Harbaugh's fixed a lot of stuff here. And they are moving in the right direction. And that Michigan has made so many strides. So even if they lose this game, which they have not won in over a decade... Look, man, this group is good. I think it stinks kind of that it's going to end on this, and that's going to be your lasting memory of Michigan, but they have been an elite top 10 team for the majority of this season, and it's actually been genuine, unlike those early Jim Harbaugh teams, where like, yeah, it's cool, whatever, you're beating Rutgers 70-0, but see what happens here.
They were good that one year. They played Florida State in the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, they were fine.
He's had some good teams.
But not elite like this, not complete.
Yeah,
this feels complete. And like the fact that they're only an 8-point spread, like what was Michigan State? 20? And this is 8?
Yeah, I think so.
Michigan, this is an interesting stat. I think this came from Michigan Wire. Through 11 games, Michigan ranks top 25 in total offense. They're 23rd overall. Scoring offense, 15th. And top 10 in defense, 9th. And 7th in scoring defense. only three teams are in the top 15 in scoring offense and scoring defense in college football. Do you know who the other two are, Matt Green?
I'd probably say Georgia and Cincinnati.
That is correct.
Those are the only two, or is there one more?
Michigan's the third one.
Hell yeah, brother.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're an elite program this year, and I think they figured a lot of stuff out. But then 11 Warriors, so I love reading. Great Ohio State website. They had this post about this game, and obviously because it's a Ohio State blog, I thought this was great. Quote, but it has been a while since the Wolverines won the grand finale. Remember those villains from 3,651 days ago? Denard Robinson, Junior Hemingway, Roy Rountree. Men in their 30s these days. We reached the 10-year anniversary of the last time Michigan's fight song lyrics weren't lying as the sun set on the season's final Saturday. Phenomenal work. But those names, and you think about it, you're like, that was the last time they beat Ohio State. Those guys. Crazy.
That really is.
Oh, by the way, I should get my pick after all that. So let me get, I'm picking the Buckeyes to win and cover, but I think it's a slight cover. I think they win by like 10 to 14, something like that.
Yeah, I could see that. Like, I feel like, you know, Michigan did beat Penn State. It was a pretty close one, but that was on the road in Happy Valley. But Penn State was able to, I feel like Michigan's a better team than Penn State. That's what I'm saying. And Penn State was able to hang with Ohio State like I wasn't really expecting. Like, Penn State's offense, I don't feel like is anywhere close to what Michigan is. And that's why, and at home, I feel like Michigan State is going to be able to hang with Ohio State. Like, Penn State, so they ran the ball. They had to throw the ball 52 times when they played Ohio State. They ran the ball 29 times for 33 yards. Like, they were basically able to do nothing on the ground. But what Penn State did when they played Ohio State was all about the red zone defense. Like, six trips Ohio State had to the red zone in that game. They got four field goals, one touchdown, and one turnover on downs. Like, Ohio State basically dominated the Penn State game, but they just didn't get touchdowns out of their drives. And so that's at home versus an inferior opponent. Like, now going on the road and facing Michigan, I'm so close to picking Michigan to keep this game close, because I do. I think this is a solid Michigan team. But I think I'm with you, like a 10-point win or something. I don't think they can keep up with Ohio State's scoring. I think this is a really good Michigan team, but if they can keep this in the 20s and 30s, they can definitely cover, and they can honestly win. But it's going to be tough. Ohio State's the number one offense in college football. It's going to be tough to keep this team under 40 points. So I'm going to take Michigan. I'm going to take Ohio State to win and cover. Next one.
I think I'm going for Michigan in this one. I would love to see Michigan and Georgia get over the hump in this scenario. I'm going to get one Georgia, two Michigan.
Oh, without a doubt. I'd love to see it. Michigan win. I mean, it's just, they're one of those brands. It is good for college football when Michigan can beat Ohio State, and that's like the best rivalry in college football. Like, it's just been so long that the Iron Bowl overtook it. Like, once Saban got there, I feel like it became a more interesting rivalry again. And then, like, this Ohio State Michigan has just been such domination. It's hard to get excited for it, like Duke North Carolina, when Ohio State's winning, what is it now, like 14 out of 15 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. They won 10 straight.
10 straight.
Also, yeah. Can I give this final stat on this? We'll move on. How many games has Ryan Day lost in the Big Ten since becoming head coach?
It's zero, right?
Zero times. So until that happens, I'm going to stick on the side.
Yeah,
of
that's
Ryan
fair.
Day.
So this, we alluded to it earlier, Thanksgiving night, the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss comes in, and I was shocked by this spread. Mississippi State is a 1-point favorite at home. And I really wasn't sure what to make of it. Like, I feel like we've seen several times this year these top 10 teams be underdogs on the road to unranked teams. But this one surprised me. What do you think? What is your take on this one?
I mean, Mississippi State's good. They're a top 25 team now. I think the Mississippi State team we saw early on is not the Mississippi State team we've seen the last few weeks. They figured a lot of stuff out. I mean, they're 7-4 right now. They're good. This is a good team. They're beating the crap out of people. they're fun, man. That come from behind win against Auburn was special. Like coming back from the deficit they did, rallying there. They're figuring some stuff out. Like outside of the Arkansas last the field goal loss there, they've figured a lot of stuff out since the Alabama game. And I think this is a spry team. Remember, they beat A&M. This is a team that beat NC State. They're just weird. Mike Leach coach teams, like, they'll do that and they'll lay an egg against someone like Arkansas or something like that. Pardon the pun there, but I do think Will Rogers is trending in a direction that's like he's going to be in the Heisman conversation next year. Like, he's going to be one of the early names that people need to monitor here, because dude's completing 76% of his passes, which is atop the FBS leaderboard, on 52 pass attempts per game. He's number one in the SEC in passing offense, and he's third nationally in 374 yards per game. Now that he's had more than a season working with this group and working with the air raid and working with Leach, man, Will Rogers, if you watch the tape in these last few weeks of him, he is an assassin. And Matt Corral's banged up. He's thinking towards the NFL draft. The run game for Ole Miss has been really hit or miss with their three-headed monster, Parrish, Ely, and Snoop. And I don't know. There's something about this game that just tells me I think Mississippi State's going to win this one. I do. I think this is going to be sneaky low scoring, but I think Mississippi State wins and covers. I think Will Rogers is really good, and I think this will be a good opportunity because they don't have any challengers on television to watch what this Mississippi State team looks like right now and just how good Will Rogers is playing at the present time, because I think he is an absolute assassin as of late. So give me the Bulldogs to win and cover.
All right. Hot take right there. I got a stat for you.
Mm.
So Ole Miss at home this year, average score, or I should say average point differential, they're plus 19 points per game, 8-0 at home. Away from Oxford and the Grove, their friendly confines, they are averaging negative 6 points per game point differential, and they are 1-2 on the road. Tennessee is that one win they got on the road in a hostile environment we saw in Neyland Stadium. I was going back and forth with this because obviously we know this is in Stark Vegas, as they call it. Cowbells will be ringing.
I want to go to a game here.
I don't. I don't even like watching these games on TV.
Wow.
It's terrible.
No, it's not.
Volume down. You're just like, this is so irritating after a while.
Yikes.
It just like drowns out the broadcast.
Oh my goodness. No cowbell for him.
I respect what they're doing. I just, I don't, it's not aesthetically pleasing. It's going to be a rowdy crowd for sure. This Egg Bowl, there's something about it. I feel like weird things happen in the Egg Bowl. And so I was so close to picking Mississippi State, but at the end of the day, I feel like Ole Miss is a better team, and I feel like their ability to run, I think, is what's going to keep this Mississippi State offense off the field some. And so I think that's why I think Ole Miss is ultimately going to win. I think there's more balanced offensively. So, and their defense has come along as of late. So for that reason, I'm going to go Ole Miss to win and cover. And then
wait, on
Friday,
last thing on that. What do you make of the Ole Miss mascot situation? Corso put on an Ole Miss helmet on game day the other day, and it's because they have no idea what to do. The bear, the shark, the rebel head's gone.
Oh, I forgot about the bear.
Like, they have no identity with the whole mascot situation there.
Well, you know, they wanted to distance themselves from the whole Confederate.
As one should, yes.
Yeah.
But you got to pick something else.
Yeah, I don't know. The Land Shark thing, it's like that was like a specific team.
Yeah.
And it was just the defense, too. I don't know. I kind of respect what they're going for.
What happened to the bear?
That's, That's a good question. I don't even remember anything about it because they called it. It was like a rebel black bear. Or
yeah,
something, I think was his name. Well, you remember what happened when they first opened it up to like the students?
Mm.
They had like a student vote. You remember that?
I don't, but I know it. Yeah.
The dude that led the Rebel Alliance or whatever in Star Wars, that orange dude that says it's a trap. You know that guy?
Uh huh.
I don't know what his name is. I don't know Star Wars that well.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the dude that like the students voted for. And at the end of the day, that's honestly kind of funny because it has some sort of like connection to Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're definitely lost. They don't know what to do exactly.
Like they're just trying to dance around just renaming the team. Like you're just going to have to at some point just rename them.
I mean, hey, maybe they can cut an NIL deal with Disney and they can just start doing all kinds of rebel things. It's like they can go that direction with it.
I guess. I don't know. I'll get Katy Perry on it. Where are we going next?
All right, Friday at noon. So we're talking a 9 a.m. local kickoff.
I'm glad you brought this up. Yeah.
Absolutely absurd. Boise State at San Diego State. My Aztecs are a 2.5-point home dog here, so I haven't been able to pick Boise State right all year. I feel like I missed their pick.
Not every a blue game. Turf guy.
Yeah, and this one is not on the blue turf. It's gonna be is it Reliant Stadium? Do they still play in there where the Chargers used to play, or do they tear that stadium down?
Was that I thought that was Qualcomm. Reliant, I thought, is where the Raiders play now. Isn't that Allegiant Reliant Allegiant? I don't know. Maybe. Fine.
I am confusing that. Qualcomm is what it was.
Yeah.
Do they still play there, or did they get rid of that stadium?
I don't know. Is the Poinsettia Bowl still a thing? Because that's where the Poinsettia Bowl was.
I was thinking it was the Holiday Bowl.
I thought that was the Poinsettia. Did it become Poinsettia?
Pacific Life Holiday Bowl? Oh, it's at that
That
whale.
Sounds right. But where was the Poinsettia Bowl then?
That was in San Diego. Poinsettia, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's in San Diego.
Okay, so they hosted two bowls.
Hmm.
You got the Holiday Bowl. Is that one in San Diego also?
Yes.
Now it's got a hilarious name, though, right? It's like a, you know, autotrader.com. No, it's something county credit union Holiday Bowl.
It really rolls off the tongue.
It's something terrible now, but
I mean, we get crypto.com arena for the Lakers, right? Come in. Like, that's the new staples.
That's true.
Great
Grind
stuff.
Grind my gears on these sponsors.
No, we love our sponsors. That is only Matt Green who is saying that portion on the podcast.
San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl.
Is that really what it is?
Is what it's called now.
Rolls off the tongue. Very simple, very short.
It's funny too because like the sponsors that I remember like growing up, those are all the normal ones, right? I'm like, well, that makes sense. Tostitos Fiesta Bowl, Nokia Sugar Bowl, like those rolled off the tongue, you know. Pacific Life Holiday Bowl just sounds normal to me. Then once they change it, now I'm upset about it. So moving on, San Diego State, like we said, they're 9 o'clock local kickoff. They're 2.5-point home dog, and this has got some interesting Mountain West title game implications. Boise State wins this game, assuming Fresno wins, and Fresno State's going to the Mountain West Championship because they have the head-to-head tiebreaker with San Diego State. But Boise State right now, they're tied with Utah State and Air Force. So if everybody wins, they got a three-way tie going on and in the Mountain West East division. So I was looking up the three-way tie rules, actually, and since Boise State is the one that has – they have the worst record overall because they all beat each other. We have one loss and one win, one loss. So, I think Boise State will need some help to get into the Mountain West championship this year. So with all that said – you know, I've been a believer in the Aztecs all year. They're doubting them this year, this week. 2.5-point home dog. So give me the Aztecs to win outright.
11 wins for Brady Koch would be wild. It hasn't happened since Rocky Long did it in 2015, 2016, and then before that, 1966 and 69. This is unprecedented territory for the most part for the Aztecs. Boise's been playing at 8:30 p.m. 11:30 East Coast time for months, years, all of our lifetime. For them to play this early on a Friday, I don't know if they're going to get up for it. I don't know how this will unfold for them, but I do like Boise here. I'm not going to sign off on 11 wins for Brady Hoke. I'm not doing it. So give me Boise State here.
You have a personal vendetta against Brady Hoke?
It's just, he's fine, but he could go like 12-0 for four straight years at San Diego State, and I'd still be like, I don't know about him. He's still a little iffy to me. I'm not a big Brady Hoke guy. Maybe it's the Michigan, Tennessee stuff and everything. I don't know. Brady Hoke is just, he is what he is.
What was his Tennessee?
We history? Can get it out. Look, it's just all kinds of stuff.
you can't sum it up for me?
No, can't. Not in the pod. Let's keep
too
moving.
Much, too much going on?
Mm-hmm.
We're not allowed to talk about it? It's like Voldemort?
Well, you don't say his name. It's he who must not be named.
That's what I was referencing. because I did say it, but yeah. All right, well, Brady Hoke, he was the coach, right? Last time, Michigan beat Ohio State?
That is correct.
So, maybe a full circle. So you're taking Boise State. Lock it in.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to what... I'm glad this is not rivalry week. It's like this isn't a traditional rivalry, but we need to make this a big rivalry because Iowa and Nebraska just should be a big rivalry, right? Like, they got...
Corn country.
Yeah, it's... Nebraska corn versus Iowa corn. Like, there's got to be some sort of hostility.
Corn
there.
Should do the halftime show.
You're on to something. I don't know if anyone else has thought of it yet, but I don't know why it's not happening.
That would be amazing.
Maybe it already is. Maybe they're ahead of us on this.
That would be. Aren't they actually from Iowa, too? Do I misremember that? And then why they were called corn to begin with? I think they're from Iowa.
Your guess is as good as mine. You're better than mine. I have no idea.
Matt, I'm coming undone.
Hey, I definitely listened to a little Korn back in my youth.
My best childhood friend growing up had a Korn t-shirt that I remember being concerned about it because I don't think my parents liked it that he wore it all the time, and just Korn was just like a bad move to be around someone else's parents if you're a kid. Like, you don't want to rock a Korn t-shirt when you're in elementary school. It sends a bad vibe. Like, oh, you're going to wreck my child.
That's very true. And it's crazy to me, the music that, like, I was listening to when I was, like, 9 and 10 years old. Like, Kid Rock and, like, Eminem. It's just, like, just a 9-year-old hearing these words? Like, that's just absurd to me.
But you had older brothers.
That's true, for sure.
Like, I was the oldest, so I wasn't really exposed to any of that. And I also wasn't a music guy, really. And I've never really been much of a music guy. Like, I have my stuff that I listen to, but, like... the Sports Renaissance woman and I were talking about it. She actually talked about it with her friends at work. You all think I'm just a weirdo for this, but like, I took her to work this morning and I don't, cause her car's messed up. And I didn't like the music on, especially early in the morning. Like, let's just talk, or I'll have my podcast on or talk radio in the morning and I'll just have that just slightly on. And she's like, you're just like an old man. Like, how long did you wait until you just fully accepted that you're just like an 85-year-old man? Like,
that's funny.
But that's how I am. So it's just, that's just been my thing. I think I guess my broader point is that I could have been exposed to any of that and it just wouldn't have fazed me because I would have just been like, not for me.
Yeah, it's hilarious. Like, whoa, what's our son listening to? A band, Rage Against the Machine. That's perfectly normal for his age. Like, that just sounds crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, with all that said,
mm-hmm.
we got Iowa and Nebraska. Nebraska, 1.5-point home dog here without Adrian Martinez. Like, I think as much, you know, grief as Adrian Martinez gets from, like, it seems like everybody in college football. I don't know really why. He's like, he seems to be one of the most, like, Bo Nix kind of. Like, just everyone has an opinion that Adrian Martinez is terrible. But he's all of Nebraska's offense, right? Like, I don't think we realize how good he is until he's gone. So without Adrian Martinez, I think Iowa wins this one. I'm not going to say easily because nobody beats Nebraska easily, but I'm going to take Iowa to win outright.
Do you douse Scott Frost and Gatorade if they cover here? They lose
they
by one.
They
just like had a missed extra point. They missed the extra point. They have a game winning drive. They get there and it's 21-20, and all they have to do is make the extra point to get the overtime, and they miss it wide right. Do you douse Scott Frost and Gatorade either way just for covering? Real teams cover, and he's 0-6 in one score games to this point this season. So,
yeah, I thought you were going to ask if they win this game.
No, I'm not doing that. He's not winning this game. Scott Frost doesn't. That's not what Scott Frost is about. Scott Frost, he loses these games. These are what he was built on. This is going to be ugly as crap. This is going to be like 16-13 Iowa, and it's going to be awful. This is one of the games I'm okay only doing my 15-minute recap and seeing all the snaps from both teams really quick. They've lost to Iowa 6 straight times, by the way.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I don't know. I think both teams are going to be pretty awful in this game. But you know what's weird is I think Nebraska, like, everything comes down to Iowa's amazing defense, but I don't know. I just think that Iowa might, you ready for this? Smother the Nebraska quarterback. Do you know what his name is? Logan Smothers.
Do you need a rim shot there?
Iowa's defense is also fourth in the Big Ten in total defense at this point. They've kind of fallen off a little bit since that early Georgia-esque start.
Yeah,
I don't feel great about it. Nebraska could win this game.
Anything they're doing in these days.
Yeah. Remember when Iowa was number two in the nation and we were like, playoff?
Yeah, that's a long time ago. It's a lifetime ago.
Where are we going next?
So you're going to Iowa.
I am going to Iowa.
Lock that in. And now we're going to ACC. What is this one called? I'll have to get back to that one. It's got some kind of in-state name. I forget. I
think it's the world's hatest. I think it's something with hate. It's like the world's oldest hate rivalry or something. It's like
Georgia Tech is the clean old-fashioned hate.
But this one has hate too. Is it good at clean old-fashioned hate?
No, that's Georgia Tech.
But then it's something hate. It's world's most hated. What is that? It's something.
I feel like we had this exact same conversation last year.
Did we really?
When would this game came up, honestly. But I'll look it up. But this is North Carolina State. Crazy to think where this is right now compared to what we thought North Carolina was going to be this year. So NC State's a 5.5-point favorite at home. This is also the last of the – no, we have one more Friday night. This is also a Friday night game. North Carolina is 0-3 on the road this year. So every time they've gone on the road, they have not been successful.
0-3?
0-3.
How is that possible?
What do you mean?
How have they only played 3 road games?
This is the fourth one.
Still.
A lot of college football teams, you can have those games, those seasons. I mean, what was it? I think Ole Miss had only played 3 road games as well. This is their fourth here last week of the season. But, yeah, favorable schedule for sure. 8 home games. Did they play a neutral site? I can't remember. Not important.
Ole Miss did. I know that. To open against Louisville in Mercedes.
Yeah, there you go. So – North Carolina's 0-3 on the road this year, losing those games by an average of 8 points per game. This is a 5.5-point spread, so that's signs pointing to NC State right there. But also, NC State has is allowing the lowest quarterback rating in the entire ACC, and they also lead the ACC in interceptions. We've seen Sam Howell, you know, make some ill-advised plays at times when under pressure. So this NC State secondary has been on this maybe the best in the ACC. The secondary's been the best in the ACC, and this has been one of the better defenses overall in the ACC. So I'm taking NC State to win and cover.
North Carolina not fighting for a bowl game in this one. They already got bowl eligibility. They've got 6 wins, 8-3 for the Wolfpack. Mac Brown, 23-1 in his last 24 games against in-state ACC opponents as the head coach of UNC. He owns the state of North Carolina. Do you know who else he beat this year? Ended their dream season? Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Give me
big time non-conference win.
Big time non-conference win. Give me the heels to win and cover here.
I mean, are we really like, is that an accomplishment to run the state of North Carolina and in football? Are we giving them that?
Well, I mean, Georgia, I be careful here. Georgia fans after Saturday will be like, we run this state. They're going to do that again. They do it every year. We run this state stuff. They do it all
the
time.
They really only did that. I think that started in 2009.
Here we go.
Because when Georgia Tech beat Georgia, they like, there's nothing that reminds you that you actually do hate Georgia. Tech have been losing to Georgia Tech. Like, Georgia fans really don't care about Georgia Tech until they lose. And then you're like, oh man, this is embarrassing. So I think it was really just a response to Tech saying we run this state because they ran for like 400 yards or something in that game.
So you're blaming Jonathan Dwyer for this.
And Josh Nesbitt. But yeah, Caleb King and Washon Ealy. 2009 ran all over them, and that they had the whole eye black and everything. It said like, we run this state. That's I think where it really started, and that was kind of cool.
Talk to me when you run through Tennessee State, UT Martin, Tennessee Tech, Vanderbilt, Memphis. Talk to me when you run through that kind of slate.
I think Georgia did run through that state this year through Vanderbilt, Tennessee.
Okay, you're breaking up. I can't.
I think they beat Austin Peay 1 year too. So I totally lost my train of thought. But yeah, so Georgia Tech that year, I think is what really, and Georgia Tech was actually good that year in 2009. I think that may have been the year they won the ACC. And they were like ranked top 10. Georgia was like bad that year with Joe Cox and really ignited the rivalry again for a few years. But back to the NC State, North Carolina, I'm almost 100% sure we looked this up last year when we did this game because it's called the Carolina State game.
What?
That's it, like Carolina-State game. So like, that's how you know you're second in your state. If one school is called Carolina.
I don't know.
And you're just state.
I mean, there's Michigan State, there's Mississippi State. I don't know. They like the state part of it. I don't know.
That's true.
I think that's
harsh. That's how North Carolina knows they're superior to South Carolina.
Yeah.
They're just Carolina.
That I would agree with, yes.
That's true. NC State is just state. So, yeah, that's what it's called for future reference for the 2022 show.
Tori.
Excellent callback, sir. But, yeah, so the Carolina State game, you're taking the heels. I'm taking the Wolfpack. Now we go to the Apple Cup on the West Coast. This is our dessert on our Black Friday, 8 o'clock, Washington State at Washington. Washington's a 1.5-point home dog, and Washington is just bad. Like, what are they, 4-7 on the year? They've lost three straight. Yeah, three straight. They lost to Colorado,
and Colorado's awful.
Awful. So I think the Cougs go on the road, get the win.
I think they win in cover two. We might get Sam Heward in this one. Mr. Heward, son of Brock Heward, who's a 5-star quarterback who signed on for Donovan and Jimmy Lake. So I'm curious to see what his future is like.
Is Brock Heward a friend of the pod?
He is not a friend of the pod yet, but I'm more than happy to have Mr. Brock Heward on this very podcast.
Does he still do college? I feel like I see him on more NFL broadcasts.
I think
now.
He kind of moved on, because I think he does like a Seahawks radio show too. I could be wrong. So I think he's more NFL. But it's wild that both coaches are gone for very different reasons. Lake for performance and the altercation on the sideline and just the whole multitude of reasons, and hiring John Donovan to run the offense and the offense just being an absolute mess and wasting this great defense, because his defense has been good. Like, Washington's defense is still elite in the country. The weird thing is Washington State, Orlovich got fired for COVID vaccines. So he had to move on. Was he even fired? Was it fired with cause, or did he resign? I don't even remember now what his actual term was for why he moved on from Pullman. But Delora has been really good for them as a QB. I like him, and I like the little not Christian McCaffrey running back that they have that I'm blanking on his name off the top of my head at the moment. But I do think Washington State's got a better defense than people are getting credit for, and this coach, the interim, really wants the head coaching job, and he's been good. I think he's actually been pretty solid for them in Washington State. It's got a good defense too, and I just believe in that offense a little bit more. So give me the Cougs to win and cover.
All right, lock it in. And now our first Saturday game. We got the 3:30 CBS. We got the Iron Bowl. And without Bo Nix, I feel like this game
lost a lot of luster.
It does. And I hate that he was talking about the whole Alabama officiating
stuff. Bryce Young took that so well, too. He was just like, Coach Saban tells us to control or only worry about what we can control. And all. He was very impressive in his answer. Bo Nix comes off not great there at all.
But yeah, like, I'm not going to act like as a fan or just of SEC football that I haven't watched Alabama games and felt like, damn, they seem to get a lot of calls, you know, but I'm not the quarterback of an SEC team. Like, to say something like that, and then you're not even playing in the game, you're just like kind of like throwing a grenade out there and just like you don't have to deal with it. It's just, I feel like it was terrible timing. But Alabama, as we know, number 3, going at Auburn. Auburn's a 19.5 point home dog. Big spread. I feel like,
is this your home dog of the week?
No, San Diego State was my home dog of the
week. Okay, so Zeus is in San Diego State gear this week. Okay.
Yes, sir. And he likes those Aztecs to rise and shine early.
Is it just because the Z factor? Like, is he in his name and is he in Aztecs?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. No, I never thought about that. But I'm sure Zeus thought about it, though. But yeah, like I said, if Bo Nix was playing this game, I'd like him to keep it close, honestly, because Auburn just has a way of playing Alabama close. Like, they've lost two straight in Jordan-Hare. Like, they haven't won in Jordan-Hare since 2015. But with that said, it probably wouldn't be a 19.5 point spread if Bo Nix was playing, because I just think he has ability to just kind of create and make plays for Auburn's offense. But we haven't seen Alabama really dominate really anyone since that loss to A&M, other than Mississippi State. I think they dominated Mississippi State, but we've seen, you know, the LSU game close, the Arkansas game close, even Tennessee was close for a while. But with that said, I feel like Alabama's going to come out and dominate Auburn. Like, I just don't think Auburn's going to be able to keep this close. I think it's going to get kind of ugly.
I agree. TJ Finley has not looked good since taking over. He had that great comeback for Georgia State weeks ago when they benched Bo Nix in that one. But Alabama, it's just so funny how we view them. And I'm guilty of this too, where I'm just like, I talk about on this podcast where it's like they're different than in previous years. Bill O'Brien's just not been as good as Sark and Lane Kiffin, but they're still all-time great. And I think part of that is Bryce Young is doing more than a lot of the more recent Alabama star quarterbacks have done. Like, him completing 71% of his passes, he does a lot more to keep everything going. He doesn't have the wide, like, obviously Jameson Williams been awesome as of late, but it's still not like Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and
not 4 first round picks on
right.
the team.
So he's actually doing a lot with like just the Slade, whatever, Bolden, whatever his name is, and stuff like that, where it's just no running game some weeks. Like, Brian Robinson just having to carry a heavy load. Like, I think I am really, really impressed with Bryce Young more than most Alabama quarterbacks in recent years, and I think he has just kept this thing together. And they're averaging 500 yards of total offense, 44 points per game. It doesn't feel like it. That's the weird thing to me. When you watch Alabama, it doesn't feel like 101 of their plays of 20. They have 101 plays of 20 yards or more, which is 3rd in the country. Like, that's kind of crazy to me. Like, it just doesn't feel like it this year for some reason. So all that being said, I still think they're a lot better than Auburn, and I think they win and cover here and blow them out. I think if Nix was playing, I think they still win, but I think I would probably have taken Auburn to cover here. That's my home dog of the week.
Yeah, like, I don't know if Bryce Young, if I would say he's been better than Tua to this point, but it seems like he's having to do a lot more than Tua. Like, because those weapons were just so ridiculous those 2 years he was the starter, like, so many plays just seemed to be on schedule. It was like, dude runs his route, dude's wide open, I hit him perfectly in stride,
right.
Touchdown. Like, Bryce Young is having to create more. This offensive line isn't nearly as elite as some of those other ones. Like, he's actually having to run around and make some plays. And Jameson Williams, I mean, he's basically on par with all those other guys. Like, he's a first-round talent. But Mechie's an NFL receiver, but he's not like this elite
right.
first round pick like so many of the others have been. So it's like they have great weapons, and like Robinson has been a workhorse too, but he's not Najee Harris either. Like, they have great weapons, but it seems like Bryce Young is having to make more plays, but he's making those plays. Like, he's, especially the second half of the season, I feel like the first half, I mean, he still looks like he doesn't want to run a lot, right? He seems like he wants to beat you from the pocket, but it seems like in the second half of the season, he's more open to taking off when, like, quicker when things break down. And dude is quick. Like, he makes some plays with his legs. But yeah, I just don't see Auburn hanging with him in this game. But I'll get a stat about Auburn. When November started, Auburn was 6-2 and 3-1 in the conference. Like, in control of their fate in the SEC West. And it's just crazy how their season has kind of hit a downward spiral. Now they're 6-5 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
They lost three straight. So, and they, I mean, if they lose this week, they're going to be the finished sixth in the SEC West. And they were the second best team in the West about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Where are we going next?
Keeping it moving back out to the Pac-12 for the Civil War.
Mm. I don't think they call it that anymore.
They don't call it that?
I think they dropped it.
Is that not PC?
I think they dropped that. I could be wrong.
Oh, get out of here.
I think they did drop it. I could be wrong.
Grinds my gears. It's probably the millennials' fault.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. It's just the Oregon State rivalry. I don't think it's called... it was officially known until 2020. Yeah.
Of all the things 2020 took from us, the Oregon State rivalry.
I shouldn't have told you this. I just deflated Matt Green on this very podcast. I'm sorry.
On this pod, just as we call it the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, we're going to call this the Civil War, because when I grew up playing NCAA football, this game was called the Civil War, and that's how I remember it. So whatever we want to call it, Oregon State's rivalry today, Oregon's the home team, and they come in as a 7.5-point favorite. This is a 3:30 game, so we don't have to wait all night to see some Pac-12 action. I think Oregon's got the best rushing, or Oregon State, I should say, has the best rushing offense in the Pac-12.
B.J. Baylor.
So I feel like I can see Oregon State staying in this game if they can continue to run the ball. Like, Utah ran all over Oregon. I mean, as well as the defense shut them down as well, but I can see Oregon State staying in this game, and I'm gonna take Oregon to win, but I'm gonna take Oregon State against the spread.
Last year was 41-38, Oregon State. COVID year obviously was weird, but man, I don't know. I went back and watched some of that, and what Jonathan Smith and Mario Cristobal have done in their three matchups. Here was game one, 55-15 UO. Game two, 24-10 UO. Game three, 41-38 UO. So it's 2-1 Cristobal, but Smith has made up a lot of ground on Cristobal, and I think he's a better coach as a whole, especially in game when it's close like this. Give me the Beavs and an upset here. An all-time bad loss last week for Oregon. They have nothing to play for with the playoff out of reach. This is prime real estate for a rivalry upset where they have nothing to play for the rest of the way. I like the Beavs here. I think this can be low scoring. They're going to run on Oregon. This is going to be interesting. Thibodeau will not have as big of an impact because Oregon State does not. They're pass averse. Give me the Beavers in an upset here.
Hey, Thibodeau can make some plays against the run as well.
Yeah, dude's, but it's just not the same. Player. I'm just saying it's not going to be the same where he's just got like 4 or 5 sacks on a bunch of hurries. Like, it's not going to be that kind of game.
I was close to picking the upset, but I feel like Oregon is the better team. But we shall see. Keeping it moving. The Palmetto rivalry or something. Some sort of thing like that. We go down to the Palmetto State. I don't know. We'll figure out what the rivalry's called. Terrible research on this podcast.
Well, this is not... No, we research other stuff. We're not researching what the names are for these things.
I'm going off the cuff on this one.
Yeah.
Clemson at South Carolina, probably the most interesting Clemson South Carolina game, I would say, since Connor Shaw was on campus, maybe.
Is he not still on campus? I thought he was still on the staff. Is he not?
Oh, Connor Shaw, he is on their staff, isn't? Is he?
He was on Muschamp. I thought he got retained. I could be wrong.
Yeah, you might be right about that. So he is on campus. So he's been on some. He's been on campus for some of these beatdowns. But yeah, this is going to be an interesting one this year. Like this is a. This has been a great year for Beamer, but Clemson isn't Florida or Auburn. Like Clemson, as much as we wanted to all throw away Clemson a month ago, like they've turned their season around and it's turned into a respectable season at 8-3 right now, likely 9-3, and then maybe even 10-3 if they win their bowl game. Well, shoot, I mean, if Wake Forest messes around, who does Wake Forest play this week? Because if Wake Forest loses, then Clemson can work their way into the ACC championship.
That's true. I don't know. I didn't even pull that up.
Boston College, maybe?
That sounds right.
I think they have Boston College. And I think that's on the road. And I think I heard it's going to be in like the 30s or something, like the 20s or something in that game.
That's Sam Hartman, though. He's pretty handsome.
He's got that going for him. So this season that we all threw away for Clemson, like this is what elite programs do. It's like your awful year, you end up going 10-3 or 11-3 or something. So I think this has been a great year for South Carolina. Side note, does Shane Beamer's deserve Shane Beamer? Does he deserve SEC Coach of the Year recognition?
No, I think Sam Pittman's got that locked in. Coach of the Year is Pittman, right?
So you would say Pittman over like a Kirby Smart.
Yeah, like congratulations on mowing over everybody with your unbelievable recruiting class. Like congratulations.
So that okay.
That's Josh Heupel has a better case than Kirby. With the amount of transfer portal loss, like for Tennessee to be going bowling.
Coach of the Year to be, right?
Coach of the Year is like, we don't even have a fully stacked roster of scholarship players, and they're going bowling. They hung with Georgia for a quarter.
Nick Saban won Coach of the Year last year.
Right.
It's like, so.
Yeah, it just depends on how you interpret the word.
It's like,
yeah.
So how he's won like four times at Alabama. Like, what years is he doing a really good job coaching, and other years he's...
Why do you have me shouting and angry about SEC Coach of the Year at this hour, Matt Green? It is Thanksgiving.
Because I feel like people do have different definitions of Coach of the Year. It goes to the coach that was supposed to be terrible and they end up going to a bowl game.
Right.
Or it's the, like, Ed Orgeron, you know, obviously that team was stacked and we don't.
Well, it's just like basketball. Like, LeBron should win it.
A breakthrough season, so you understood he won Coach of the Year.
It's just the same thing with MVP and NBA, where it's like, are you voting for the best player or are you voting for the best story?
See, but, yeah, then. The NBA, the MVP, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like they're voting for the same issue. It's like whatever your preconceived notions were about that team affect how you view Coach of the Year. And that's just fair. I don't know.
All the injuries Georgia's had, second string quarterback.
Let me get the world's smallest violin. I know it's here somewhere. I know I can find it somewhere. The world's smallest violin. Where is it?
But yeah, Sam Pittman seems like a good... But I think that's who a lot of people think. It's either Sam Pittman or Shane Beamer.
Well, let's just say this. Shane Beamer getting South Carolina, based on what we saw early on, to a bowl game in year one, I think is a huge win for them.
Yeah.
I think he's turned the tide a little bit.
I think to be Coach of the Year, you still need more than, would it be 7-5 if they won this game?
Yeah.
6-6 likely. Yeah. Like you need more than 6-7 wins.
Yeah, that's true.
So
Josh Heupel for you.
It's been a great season for South Carolina and Beamer, especially year one. But yeah, I think Pittman has a much better if you're going to give it to a guy who like wasn't actually competing to win the division or anything.
Especially in the West. I'm always more impartial to the West teams anyway. I think you could make the case for Kiffin too a little bit. Yeah.
The West plus Georgia on their schedule. Mm-hmm. Like, just a pretty absurd schedule Arkansas had. Easily the toughest schedule in the country.
Yep. Give me Pittman on that award.
Just a side note. So back to Clemson, South Carolina. What are your thoughts on this one? I'm taking Clemson.
They're on their third quarterback, Jason Brown. South Carolina has fixed some stuff. I think Florida's just bad. I don't think that's as impressive of a win as it looked even at the time, and it wasn't that impressive. I think they're fine. Tennessee beat the living crap out of this team, and I just think South Carolina is going to have a terrible day offensively against this group. So I think Clemson wins and covers. Who was the first first Clemson quarterback to go 4-0 against the Gamecocks?
It's got to be Connor Shaw, right?
No. Clemson quarterback.
Oh.
To go 4-0 against South
first
Carolina in his
to
college
go
career.
4-0. Well, so Taj Boyd must have been losing to him. I don't know, like Charlie Whitehurst or something?
That's correct. Charlie Whitehurst.
Oh, let's go. That's an obscure one right there.
I got you covered. All right, game of the weekend. Is that next?
This is the game of the weekend?
Yeah, I think it's the game. I think because I really have no... I've gone back and forth on this all week.
I mean, Ohio State-Michigan's got to be the game of the
weekend. Well, it's not the game of the weekend for me because, like, I would be pretty surprised still if Michigan won. But, like, this one has playoff implications and, like, real... Like, I just have no idea how this is going to go. And I'll be nervous for Oklahoma State in this one. Like, I guess rooting for Oklahoma State to make the playoff and to win out down the stretch because of how good they've been, and just it'd be fun to see Gundy and this group finally break through. But I don't know. I think it's just a huge game that, like, if not now, then it's never going to be the case for Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's fair. I think Michigan Ohio State obviously has like more direct playoff implications, but that just comes down to you don't think Michigan is actually a serious. Can like contender to knock off Ohio State at the end of the day,
right?
Yeah, as far as this one goes, like I'm starting to believe in Oklahoma State, man. Like the last time Oklahoma scored less than 40 points a game was 2014. They averaged 38.9 that year, or they're averaging 38.9 this year. So this is just not what we've seen out of Oklahoma offense, and this Oklahoma State defense is the best defense in the Big 12. Like they're allowing 14.9 points per game. They lead the nation in sacks. They've allowed 6 touchdown passes and have 8 interceptions this season. I'm a believer in the Cowboys, so I think Oklahoma loses a second straight. Wait, was that last week?
No, they Oklahoma won last week, Baylor? Didn't they?
Oklahoma Baylor was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
but yeah,
because Baylor beat Kansas State. This past week. I think it was 2 weeks ago.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm taking Oklahoma State over Oklahoma. They're going to the Big 12 championship.
I'm here for it. I'd be into it.
Notre Dame shaking in their boots.
I mean, Notre Dame is fine as long as Alabama doesn't win. Oklahoma's fine. Or Notre Dame's fine in my opinion. But I could be wrong.
This one, Notre Dame's still not off the hook with this one. I think Oklahoma, there's a brand bias there. Like, if they can beat number 7, they jump a couple spots, win the Big 12 championship, now they got that conference championship, like, the voters, the committee will fall back in love with Oklahoma again. So I think both of these teams with one loss going into the Big 12, or either of these teams, I should say, with one loss going to the Big 12 championship, I think definitely still has a shot at the playoff.
Okay.
But we shall see.
OSU 41.25 points a game, 482 yards last four. They've outscored their last four opponents by a margin of 165-23. Average score of 41-6. This team's actually dominant and good all across the board, and this Oklahoma team is severely flawed. If you don't do it now, you're never doing it. And they're leaving the conference. I hope they do it. Like, this is it, OSU. This is it. Give me the Cowboys to win and cover.
All right, put it on the board. You took Clemson too, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not a sadist.
The last one. Also, it's called the Palmetto Bowl, if you're wondering. Clemson, South Carolina. And this last one is the battle for the Governor's Cup. Kentucky and Louisville. They are a 2.5-point home dog. This is a 7:30 primetime ESPN2 game. This is the least interesting, I think, of all the SEC, ACC rivals out there. But I think it's a little underrated. the hate that Kentucky and Louisville have for each other. So I think this is going to be a good game, but I think I got to go with the SEC here. I got to go with Kentucky to get it done on the road.
Mm. Okay.
Kentucky's going to do like Georgia when they go to Knoxville, and they're just going to absolutely take over the stadium.
I will hang up this call.
Well, I saw pictures. I saw those fans in black jackets. That's a fact. I'm just fucking with you.
No, give me the Louisville Cardinals to win here. I'm taking the like the thing about Kentucky is like always take the better offense now at this point. Like I'm a believer in the better offense against Kentucky. I think there's still just a ceiling with this group, and I think Satterfield's bunch is going to be able to put up some points in Malik Cunningham here. I think Louisville wins and covers.
All right, put it on the board.
Future LSU head coach Mark Stoops.
I just can't see him.
That would be such a like. I don't even think that'd be a bad hire, but it would be so disappointing after all the hype that they land on Mark Stoops. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why I just don't see it happening. I think
the fan base might revolt over something like that.
I mean, he's not a bad coach, so I don't think you shouldn't pull a Tennessee fans, you know, and just start like boycotting and legit get them to change their mind. But
there was no need for that.
I did take a shot there, but he's a solid coach, and I imagine at LSU, and that's kind of what we talked about too. Like, if they just get like a competent dude that you know is a good coach. Like, that talent that LSU can get is insane, really. So, okay. Kentucky's won two straight in this rivalry. So, three of the last four. So, we'll see if the Cardinals can get it done at home.
There you go.
I think the Lamar Jackson team even lost to Kentucky, didn't they? Like, that Heisman year? I guess they beat him in 2016. That was his Heisman, right? And then they lost in 2017. So Lamar Jackson got him once.
Did you know Boston College's stadium is named Alumni Stadium? I looked that up because Wake Forest is playing at BC at noon on ESPN2 on Saturday. Do you know what it's called?
Boston College's field?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Alumni Stadium.
That's terrible.
So what does that mean? If you're not an alum, you don't get in? How does that work?
I don't think that's what that means.
What is that? Shots fired at all the non-alums who come through the door? Like, we don't want you? This is Alumni Stadium, sir. It's like the COVID vaccine passport. It's like, no. We need to see your alumni card to get into.
Yeah, that seems like a stadium that can use an actual name change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not many in college. They're all kind of set. You know, you got some where they, you know, they add Bryant to Bryant Denny Stadium or something. You know,
we got like a mouthful at Wyoming where Hawaii plays at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Tickets as low as $7, folks. If you want to go jump on that one. Jonah Field at War Memorial Stadium. It's a mouthful.
Oh, wow.
But it sounds badass. I like that name.
But yeah, speaking of stadium names, that one, it will not be. This Kentucky-Louisville game will not be played at Papa John's Stadium.
Oh, no.
Because it is no longer called Papa John's Stadium.
What is it? Yum Center Stadium? That's their...
KFC Yum Center?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's just Cardinal Stadium now. They're like, you know what?
I completely just spaced. That's how you know the podcast is late. Yeah, duh. Yeah. That's why it's not that anymore. Carrier Dome, I'm surprised, has been able to just stay the Carrier Dome forever. I like that.
But see, that's a good one. But like, it has a name, like one like Nebraska, like just Memorial Stadium. Like, that's all you got. Like, you don't have like a name attached to it. Like, Texas is, you know, Daryl Kenneth Royal, DKR Memorial Stadium. So you got like a name attached to it. I always thought Nebraska just seemed real generic. Mm-hmm. Like the Alumni Stadium, that seems generic too.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the field being named and the stadium being named?
Very silly.
It's kind of pointless, right?
No one acknowledges the field, so it's just like it's a waste of time. No one acknowledges it.
Because it's Florida Field,
yeah.
Ben Hill Griffin Stadium.
Yeah, no one's doing that.
Now it's Dooley Field at Sanford Stadium. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like it. They just keep like, it's just it's a whole thing. Macarine, that's all I've got, sir.
All right, sir. Well, you enjoy your Thanksgiving and enjoy some Detroit Lions football. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can get a win for all the Thanksgiving viewers out there.
Right, right.
Are they rocking the throwbacks?
I'm sure. I'm sure.
They used to rock those on Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, different ones. Cowboys too, but yeah, they've expanded
DeAndre
out.
DeAndre Swift can have a solid game.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah, man, the season's over. Just like that. Flew by. We'll have to talk about the bowl schedule and how we want to do that. But, man, this is next. Yeah, so I'm just doing the math in my head. What is today? Wednesday?
Conference championship week, though.
Yeah, we still do. So we got a couple more of the pre stuff and the recap shows. But we're nearing the tail end of it, man. Season flew by.
It's been a it's been an excellent run, but it's not quite over.
It's not quite over yet.
We're just getting started with the good stuff.
Well, we'll see. I don't know about that. I enjoyed the regular season and going to
the regular season's great, but conference championships, playoffs, Heisman, all that. It's good stuff.
Okay, Macarine, always a pleasure, my friend. I will talk to you very soon.
Yes, sir.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.